But the things of God are not for someday when you're an adult. As a matter of fact, if God doesn't hook you, so to speak, as a child, often you don't get an opportunity as an adult. You become so calloused and so hardened. And so that is why one of the main reasons why we have such a children's emphasis in this church. The vision of our church is to reach, obviously, that next generation while we're still serving this generation. We honor age, and we're so grateful for what's been done before and our heritage and so forth. But we owe more to this present generation and to the future than we do the past. Amen? And that starts with our kids. So would you join with me and let's stand up and honor God as we read from Psalm 127 this morning, beginning in the third verse. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak of their enemies in the gate. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for our children today. We thank you for our young people. Father, I pray for our parents today. Father God, in this very, very challenging world, with so many distractions, with so many evil things, Father, it's certainly not easier raising children today. In fact, it must be more difficult. So, Father, I pray that your grace would be multiplied to our parents, to the grandparents that are involved. And Father, we pray for our children that you would guard them, that you would protect them. That this house, Father God, we pray would always be full of the laughter and the noise and the mess, the broken things that comes with ministering to kids. Father, we're happy because the house is full of young people. We pray that we never lose that vision, that we never lose that purpose. That as we grow older, that our hearts grow younger, that you would connect the hearts of fathers to their sons and daughters, and the children to their parents, Father God, today. Pray this would be a day of healing and restoration and instruction and correction. And we receive it as your dear children. Now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Read from Deuteronomy. We have all this instruction. Look at Deuteronomy 6. About all these blessings that God wants to pour out on us. I understand that there is obviously extreme to that prosperity message. And it's been abused horribly. And I'm one of the main critics of that. But to throw out the idea that God wants us to be blessed, then that's gone too far, because there's just so much scripture that would tell us that God does want to bless us. But there is a way to walk in the blessings of God, and we don't want to resist that. And one of those things is found here in Deuteronomy 6. In verse 1 it says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you observe to do them in the land that you're crossing over to possess, and that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your sons and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You see, there's a responsibility that we have as parents for our children to follow in the faith that we have, and often the faith that we receive from our parents and grandparents. That responsibility cannot be just transferred over to the children's pastor or to the Sunday school workers or the children's workers. That the primary responsibility of training our children to walk in the ways of God, that's our responsibility as parents. And there's something, so let's just say it this way. If we're not teaching the ways of the Lord in our house and in our car, then an exposure to God 1 or 2 hours a week is not really going to get the job done. As a matter of fact, all we're really doing here is supplementing and supporting what you're doing every day with your children. And they're able then to see that they're not alone and their family's not alone. There's lots of other families and there's lots of other children that believe like what we do and in this same way. And we reinforce that with one another. And again, we grew up in church. Michelle and I grew up in church. And my parents would have to give a great big assist to the men and women of our church that worked with us. But it wasn't just the children's workers, and it wasn't just the youth workers. It was every Sunday walking in that building. And I'm telling you, there was not one Sunday when I walked in the doors of our Baptist church where men of the church would grab me by the hand, and they were glad to see me, and they would ask me about my life, and they would compliment me, maybe as I got older, about something they heard about that I did in school or in sports or something. They were interested in my life, and they made sure that they interacted with me. So please don't be afraid of our children. Please don't be afraid of the children's department. Please don't feel like you've been there, done that, and now your time is done. No, you can be such an influence on young people. Michelle taught that middle school Sunday school class for 20-something years. And just one of the primary things that she did in that class was just to build these students up in believing better things about themselves. Middle school is a horrible time to go through for many of us. I quite distinctly remember 7th grade being the worst year of my life. And you're so insecure and you're so unsure of yourself. But Michelle would, you know, they'd come in and these students would come in week after week and they would badmouth themselves and run themselves down. And Michelle, I remember one young man, she would just say, "Don't you ever say that about yourself. You're a man of God." And she'd make him go through some faith confession. And I bet that he's never forgotten that. I really do. But children are a blessing. All right, some of you parents need to say a better amen with that. Sometimes you just need to believe that by faith. Now, our children are grown up now, and they're absolutely a blessing. Amen. They were a blessing when it didn't look like it. Sometimes they were still a blessing. But you have to believe and understand that parenting isn't just about today. It's a long-term investment. You know, Michelle and I did youth ministry for 5 years, and I figured out that we weren't going to see the fruit of our labor. Because middle school and high school kids have a way of just getting under your skin and exasperating you and just challenging you and just disrupting the whole plan. And I just think, this is a 10-year investment, this is a 10-year investment, this is a 10-year investment. You know, and not all, but many, many of our students are really, you know, still following the Lord today, most, I would say. But the goal of parenting, wouldn't it be a good idea if you knew what the goal was? I mean, how could you be working towards something if you don't know what it is? The goal of parenting, I'll say this and I'll go back. The goal of parenting is to raise children who become well-adjusted, successful adults. That's the goal. You want your children to grow up, be well-adjusted, and successful as adults. Now, somebody stopped me in the hallway one day. She said, I don't want this to come across as a criticism. I said, okay. She said, I don't want you to take this wrong. But your children improve with age. That's somebody that worked in our children's department that had to deal with my children when they were younger and they had to see the 10-year investment. Understand? Because kids are just kids. And I said, well, thank you. Because that's the goal. Thank you. That's what we've been working for. Well, thank you, because that you couldn't have said anything better to me than that. Our children improve with age, and that should be said of your family also. That success, what is success? It's just a well-lived life, that you enjoy your life, that you enjoy your work, that you enjoy your family. So our job as parents is to raise well-adjusted children who become well-adjusted, successful adults. So good parenting starts with this, that you as a mom or you as a dad take that on as your personal responsibility. It is a personal mission that you, dad, you, mom, take responsibility for the atmosphere of your home, the ethos of your home. That's your responsibility. You are the parents. And it's your responsibility to set that atmosphere in your home. And you cannot blame the kids for the atmosphere of your house. Now, I've tried that a few times, and I have threatened them, and I have rebuked them. That one of you right now, or two of you right now, say we have four kids. And we're still sane, praise God. But every once in a while I say, you're ruining the peace of this house right now. See, it was my responsibility to maintain peace in the house. And so if somebody was ruining the peace of the house, then it was my job to get the peace back. Amen. And if that had to be without one of them present for a few moments, confined to their own personal space, that was like the anti-message that I preached a few weeks ago. All right. But you have to take that responsibility. And let me just say that you need to be a positive role model. How many of you are ashamed of some of the times you haven't been a positive role model? Matter of fact is, I don't know which one my son said, you know, when I was sort of rebuking a behavior that I was observing, he said, where do you think I learned that? I said, well, for me?
Yeah.
I said, do yourself a favor. I said, do you like that about me?
No.
I said, well, do yourself a favor and then don't emulate that. But that's no excuse for bad behavior. You should be a positive role model. You're not going to be perfect. Can you give yourself a little bit of a break this morning? You're not going to be perfect. But that's no excuse not to be a good role model to your children, because example is the best teacher. Accept that you're not a perfect parent, but that's no excuse for not improving. Here's a way that will help you take responsibility for the training of your children. This sounds so simple, but it's not. Do what is best for your child. Not necessarily what she wants to do or what is the easiest thing to do. When making decisions, make decisions on what you believe is best for your child. And I'll just tell you, parents make a lot of decisions on what's best for the parents. But you took on a responsibility when you became a parent. Now your decisions need to be based on what's going to be the best thing for the child. And that's not always what they want. That's not always what they want. That's not always what they want. You're not supposed to ask your kids all the time what they want. They're six. They want candy. They want cartoons. They want their iPad. They come on. They don't want to clean their room. Thank you for the amen. They don't want to eat their peas. Oh, I love kids. That's awesome. No is a good answer. Because I said so is also a good answer. Again, you don't have to explain all the logic to a 4-year-old of why we're not doing this. They need to understand they don't always get what they want in life. And they're going to have to learn how to adjust to other people. They're going to have to learn how to adjust to authority figures. They're not always going to get to do what they want to do, and they don't always have to know the reason why. That leads me into a story that I can't share. Because it's recorded. You could handle it, but I'm not sure everybody watching on the internet or could handle it. But it is a funny story. But let me also tell you, yes is a good answer sometimes. Sometimes, let me back the train up a little bit. Get out of the habit of saying, we can't afford to do this. Okay? Sometimes yes is a good answer. But that doesn't mean mom and dad are going to pay for it, mom and dad are going to do it. But if you really want that, then go for it. And if you can believe God and work hard, and get that thing and do that thing if that's what you want to do. Because we're supposed to be training our children to walk by faith, not by sight. Don't tell them no all the time just because you don't want to be bothered with it. Don't tell them no all the time just because you don't want to take it out of the family budget or you really can't afford it. Don't say we can't afford this. Say you can believe God if you want to. You can do anything. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. How many of you remember when our children's department was the space theme? You remember all that? The whole purpose of that was so that our kids would walk into the children's room and believe that all things are possible with God. That nothing is impossible to him that believes. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That the sky is the limit. So we need to learn how to say yes to our children, but that doesn't mean we just do it for them. We teach them how to believe God and how to work for the things that they want to accomplish in life because that will serve them well later on in life as adults. That they will figure out, I can do this. I don't know how, but I'm going to figure it out. Most of the things that Michelle and I have done in our life, we didn't have a clue how to do it when we took that first step of faith. But there was God because we learned how to say yes. There's some rules for raising delinquent children. You want to hear those? How many of you want to have a delinquent? No, but so then do the opposite. Give him everything he wants and whines for. Don't correct bad behavior. Pick up after her always. Quarrel frequently in his presence. And this is one that I think parents need to hear today. If you want to raise a delinquent, always take your child's side against authority figures. So my dad was an educator. And a lot of my friends then are school teachers and principals and superintendents and that sort of thing. And one of the most tragic things in school today is that parents do not support the principal and parents do not support the teachers. They take their children's side against the coach. They take their children's side against the teacher. They take their children's side against the principal. And you're raising a delinquent by doing so. You're teaching them that they always get what they want. I'll be honest with you. The principal isn't always right. The teacher isn't always right. The coach isn't always right. But you know what? He's still the principal. She's still the teacher. And he's still the coach. And one of the things you have to learn in life is you're not always going to be treated fairly in your own mind. Look, we're teaching our kids to fail in doing so. It's no wonder that some of our young people can't hold a job. Because when the boss tells them to do something that they don't think is right or they don't want to do or they don't feel like it, they quit. Where did they learn that? They learned that mom and dad's going to march into that principal's office and start yelling and screaming and hollering and jumping up and down without all the facts. maybe before you take on that authority, you might go do some investigation. It's getting quiet in the house of God today. See, I have a school teacher friend that we grew up together, went to college together. He used to share a ride with me up to Northwest Missouri State at Maryville. And he said, Stan, first day of school, parent comes in and says, I'll just tell you what. If you have any trouble with Johnny, you let me know. You won't have trouble with him the second time. He said, you know what? I never had trouble with Johnny. Never, ever, ever, ever had trouble with those kids. But man alive, today, and this guy's retired a few years now. You know, if I was a school teacher, I'd be retired now. Okay, I'm trying not to depress myself, all right. But he said, we've got so many parents that come in now, and their kid is absolutely, completely in the wrong. And they come in and yell and scream and holler and cuss. Man, you're not doing your child a favor by doing that. Let me give you some tools for success. All right? Create a loving atmosphere in your home. Unconditionally love your children. They are going to mess up. They're going to sin. I'm not telling you don't correct behavior, but I'm just telling you, in the middle of all your correction, in the middle of making everything, setting things right, man, they have to know that you love them no matter what they do. No matter what they say, no matter what happens, that you love them no matter what. Got it? You can't say to your kid anything that would make them feel like you stopped loving them because of what they did. And love is spelled T-I-M-E. This is absolute nonsense for you to ever say, well, I don't give my children lots of time, but I give them quality time. That's a lie. Quality time takes time. Say, quality time takes time. Cheer their victories and comfort their defeats. Reward effort. And remember that laughter is the best medicine. Your house should be full of laughter. Remember that they are children. They're not adults. They are children. They're going to act like children. They're going to do childish things. Here's one of the most important things I can say to you this morning. Listen to them. When they have nothing to say, you know, when kids they're going a million miles an hour and they're saying nothing for long periods of time when they're little. If you'll take time to sit down and listen to all that nonsense that's coming out of their mouth right now, it's an investment. It's an investment in the future because there's going to become a time in your life where you want them to listen to you. When they become teenagers and they're making bad decisions and they're running around with the wrong people and that sort of thing. You want to have invested in their life where you listen to them when they had nothing to say so that when you need them to hear what you have to say, they'll listen to you. Can I tell you the golden rule applies to parenting? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You need to treat your children. You need to be a parent according to the golden rule. Getting real quiet in here. Guys, I think I've given you enough today, and you have the rest of my notes on the back of the planner. So, I want to see you succeed. I want to see you succeed with raising your kids. I want to see them. See, the dream of Michelle and I in building this church is just our families growing up together, seeing them grow up and get married and have children of their own and coming back to see us and just enjoying life. It's family. And we want to do everything that we can to help you with your family. And and it's hard right now. So someday, I'm going to say this, is going to be kind of harsh because the world we live in. Someday you're not going to remember your kids' batting average when they were 7. But did you get them in an atmosphere where they were learning their Bible? Were they in Miss K's class? Can they go through Genesis to Revelation? There's a lot of kids in this room that can quote every book of the Bible in order just because they were in the right place at the right time and parents made sure their children were where they needed to be. I'm not saying there's a place for baseball. There's a place for dancing and all the other things. But please don't neglect the most important part of their development, and that's following Jesus. You'll regret it someday, but that day will be too late unless you do something right now. I mean, one summer, the boys did not like it, but I said, you're not playing baseball this summer. You know what? We've had a coach, we've had a teacher running our life for 9 months. Our life has not been our own. We're taking the summer off from all organized activities, and we're just going to do family stuff. And they regret it, but you know the great thing about it is they still get to dream about how great a baseball player they would have been if I hadn't done that. But you know what? They learned how to play instruments. They played a lot of tennis, which is a great lifelong sport. I know Morgan and Lane were playing tennis yesterday. And they found some other things to do that didn't involve with their whole life being structured and organized. Kids need some free time to be kids, to explore, to build things, to blow things up. Excuse me, there's too many kids in the room.